Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefs now. With us this week, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Good morning to you, doctor. Let's talk a little bit about type 2 diabetes today. A number of new studies telling us different things, including one that urges us to eat a plant-rich diet. This is good for everybody, isn't it, doctor?
Yeah. Good morning, Bob. You know, diabetes is a huge disease burden across the world and in America, and diabetes increases the risk of developing heart disease. Anything that we can do to kind of lessen that development of diabetes, we do much better at decreasing heart disease. And diabetes is influenced by diet and exercise, and really healthy diets, like I said many times on the show, is, you know, food is medicine, and this study, really, it's a big study, followed people for about 36 years. There was 200,000 people enrolled in the study, and it looked at their diets and their development of diabetes and heart disease, and what they found is those that had poor diets, exercise that wasn't, you know, optimum, developed more chance of developing heart disease, but those individuals that had a healthy, more plant-based, vegetable-based diet, decreased their overall consumption of sugars, really decreased their overall risk of developing heart disease and developing diabetes in general. So your diet contributes to your overall health and helps limit some of the chronic conditions that we get just with time as we get older.
And we're also talking about people with the high cholesterol, the same things that would help with type 2 diabetes help control cholesterol numbers, correct?
Yeah, the plants have chemicals in them called phytosteroids, and these phytosteroids help really block the absorption of cholesterol from our intestines, from the food we have. Plus, they also have anti-inflammatory effects. And anti-inflammatory really helps us overall. And the study is looking at the relationship of having increased plant fiber-based diets that decreases that overall inflammation and helps really kind of decrease insulin resistance, something that we get as we get older.
According to another new study, we should be eating more black beans, I guess, huh?
Beans in general, or legumes, where you start thinking of, what is it that we could do? It kind of goes along with the last topic we just went in. Legumes, which are peas, lentils, kidney beans, black beans, pinto beans, are really high in fiber and protein. They have contribute, if people that have beans in their diet have decreased inflammatory markers and a lower cholesterol. It was a small study, but when you start looking at the study that was done of just long-term effects of a good diet and exercise, how it helps prevent some of these chronic conditions, having more beans in your diet as opposed to processed foods or white rice actually does a big difference in your overall health.
And I guess we should throw some almonds in there, according to another new study, shouldn't we?
Almonds are really packed with nutrients for us. So if you could do one little thing for yourself during the course of a day, instead of snacking on a salty or sugary snack, grab 2 ounces of almonds, which is about 45 nuts. In general. And having that over the, you know, just each day can decrease your overall risk of developing heart disease by 25%. They also are packed with vitamin E, antioxidants, anti-inflammatories. Kind of see a theme here. The more foods we put in our body that have anti-inflammatory or antioxidant effects do really well for us overall. And almonds is an easy way. They are packed with nutrition. They have good calories, and they can help us in preventing or limiting our risk for developing some of the chronic diseases out there.
Yeah, right. Reading about this study, and they indicate that just a couple ounces of almonds may help fight health issues that can lead to heart disease and diabetes, but also a dementia. Were you surprised to see that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those balance diets type of thing, plant-based, anti-inflammatory type foods, where you're decreasing your overall consumption of processed foods and extra sugar, really plays a big role in preventing many diseases overall. I mean, it's also shown, because it has vitamin E in it, that it helps prevent some wrinkles too. So I would encourage everybody to have 2 ounces of almonds a day. It's an easy way to do something good for your body.
Sounds good. Dr. Thomas Moran is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doctor, let's talk about this diabetes drug that some are saying is a drug that you should take to live healthier for longer. What's the story on this?
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's many articles or blogs or, you know, influencers out there looking for the fountain of youth. And they're kind of in this category of biohackers. What can I do to kind of hack my biology to extend my life for longevity? And looking at many of the different drugs, this drug is the SGLT2, which is really a sodium glucose transport inhibitor drug. It works on our kidneys, helps our kidneys excrete sugar in our urine to keep our blood sugar levels down. And so there are individuals out there that are trying to take the drug to kind of modulate a little bit of their glucose, which may or may not help them long-term wise. Now, there was a study that was done in mice, and it showed it helped the male mice live longer, but not the female mice. So we have there's a lot of more studies and work to be done to see if something like this happens. And people have to understand that there's taking any drug and taking it when you don't need it. Drugs have side effects. There's always risk with taking them. One of the things you could do to really kind of extend your life in a safe way is have a, like we talked about, a very balanced diet, an increase in exercise, get yourself outside, don't smoke, limit your alcohol. It's probably better overall than trying to find the fountain of youth drug out there.
And these supposed fountain of youth drugs we're talking about have been on the market for a long time as type 2 diabetes medications, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Yeah, they've been out there for a very long time for people that have diabetes, and they work really well. But there is no study currently right now that it shows that it increases the lifespan or longevity of an individual taking it.
If you get your exercise riding a bike, this is good news. Biking might promote healthy brain aging. Tell us about this, Doctor.
Yeah, it's a pretty good study. Looked at 480,000 people in the UK over 13 years. Really looking at how they get around, not just traveling back and forth to work, but what's their activities of moving to do stuff on the evenings or the weekends. And what they found is those that cycled had a decrease in the risk of developing dementia by 19% and Alzheimer's by 22%. And they looked at this overall, and it's one of those things where the takeaway to look at is get yourself engaged, engage your muscles, engage your brain. Riding a bike takes both muscle and brain activity. You have to balance. You have to kind of move your arms and legs. You exercise your heart and lungs at the same time. And that is kind of looked at as a way to keep your overall body healthy, but it looks like it's extra oxygenating your brain, and it helps overall in decreasing dementia risk.
And with the summer weather here, it's a good time to talk about sunscreen. Is there an ideal SPF, or does it depend on the person and the time in the sun?
You know, SPF is the sun protection factor. I mean, when you go into the store, you could see, you know, anywhere from 4 to, you know, 60, 70, they keep going up. The difference between a 30 and a 60 or a 50 per se of an SPF. So a 30 gives you about a 96% protection up from the sun rays. A 50 gives you about 98%. Not a big difference. But the reality of how individuals put sunscreen on is where you go with it. Higher is better, because overall, most people do not apply sunscreen in the correct way or in the correct amounts. And so if you go up a little bit higher on the SPF factor, maybe you get yourself a little bit better protection overall to decrease your, you know, exposure to those UV rays.
We probably are all guilty of not using enough sunscreen, aren't we?
Yes. A typical 3-ounce tube of sunscreen when you think about how much you would need to put on. Say you got a t-shirt on and you want to cover your face, your arms, your hands, and your neck. You would use about an ounce. So one tube would give you three applications in general. Most people have some sunscreen that lasts them quite some time, so they're not really putting on the correct amount, and they're not getting the effective sun protection factor that's out there. That's why some of the studies are showing, be practical, go at a higher level, just for the fact that we don't put enough on typically anyway.
Dr. Thomas Moran, Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, I need to have my breakfast of almonds and beans now, but we'll talk again soon. Have a good one.
You have a great day.
Thank you.